the rest of the story. You're a criminal in early 18th century England. The one punishment you get down on your knees and beg the judge not to decree is the pillory. No, not the jail, not the lash, not even the gallows. The pillory. The humiliation of being pilloried to the English, that the accused would do practically anything to avoid it. Those punished thus could not thereafter serve on a jury, nor could they vote, and beyond the sheer stigma of being clamped down arms and neck in such a contraption was the danger. You were always pilloried in public, you see, in the public, even if your crime was an insignificant one. The public considered you fair game, and so, helplessly restrained, you waited for whatever passers-by considered just. Almost certainly, you must endure a hail of rotten fruit and rotten eggs, sometimes rocks, sometimes dead animals, and sometimes live ones. A jeering crowd might strip you naked or stuff mud down your throat. Victims of the pillory, most of whom were guilty only of petty offenses, such as loading dice or telling lies, were released from its grasp in various conditions. Most were bruised from head to foot. Some were maimed for life. A few were dead. So now you will appreciate the sick fear that seized Daniel, convicted of writing an anti-government pamphlet and sentenced in the summer of 1703 to stand in the pillory for 3 days. Among the first to be charged with seditious libel, following the government's recent crackdown on the press, Daniel had vigorously pursued every possibility of avoiding the pillory as punishment. He had meant no harm, he insisted, certainly no treason, and yet there he sat in Newgate Prison on the eve of his ordeal, trembling at the thought of what lay ahead of him. Then suddenly Daniel stopped shaking. There in the quiet of his cell, he reached for a weapon, the only weapon he had ever known, and yet one which he wielded with incomparable skill. The pen, and the words that tumbled from his pen, Daniel called a hymn to the pillory, a poem calculated to characterize himself as the victim of an injustice and the legal system as a tool of the rich and the powerful. And then morning came, and Daniel was brought from the prison to the scaffold in front of the Royal Exchange. The wooden jaws slammed down over his arms and neck. The crowd that had gathered moved closer. Daniel closed his eyes, and the next thing he heard was a cheer. A cheer! For friends had already made copies of the poem Daniel had smuggled to them, and onlookers had already read a hymn to the pillory, and now they were embracing the author. They decorated Daniel's pillory with garland. They sang his praises. They toasted his health. They threw at him flowers. All through the first day of Daniel's punishment, and all through the second, and the third as well. But once upon a victimless crime, there was a merchant who wrote a poem which the old city of London swore it would never forget. But what fellow Englishmen remembered instead were a couple of tall tales that Daniel wrote some years afterward. The Fortunes and Misfortunes of Moll Flanders, The Adventures of Robinson Crusoe, and the wonderful stories from the delicious imagination of Daniel Defoe. But now you will always remember a hymn to the pillory, for the poem that meant the most to its poet. And you will know why, because you know who. The rest of the story.